The Cultural Council's mission is to nurture, promote, and support a healthy, diverse, and inclusive cultural sector so that the arts and culture are a part of everyday life for everyone. We invite listeners to discover Florida's cultural capital online at palmbeachesculture.com. Welcome to the Arty Gras Podcast, where we dive into all things art and culture of Palm Beach County. I'm your host, Sarah LaPierre, and I'm here today with a very exciting guest, Molly Leach, and she is a fantastic artist. She's a self-taught fluid abstract artist. She's the founder, co-founder of Smart Art Courses, and she's a YouTuber. So we're excited to have her here today and talk with her. Molly, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it so much.
And a little bit a history between us. We actually met through Arty Gras,
yes.
Fine Arts Festival, right?
Yes.
We'll get into the background of that more later on, but I wanted to ask you first, can you describe to us what fluid abstract art is?
Yes. So it's actually been around for many, many years. It was originally called accidental painting.
Oh, I like that.
So he used chemistry and physics and realized that paints react in certain ways due to the force that they're applied to the canvas and the way that they're manipulated. And so that is really what fluid art is about. It is about taking, paints, pigments, mixing them with mediums, making them fluid. And some of those mediums can even be just water, I use quite often. And you manipulate them in different ways on the canvas.
So this is a fun little science project.
It is, which is like what tickles my brain a little bit as well. But it is mostly with the canvas lying flat on the table instead of up like this, where you are manipulating the paint
right.
in a vertical.
So you're not working on an easel. You're always working flat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so cool. So I know you got your start kind of maybe in an unconventional way, right? You're self-taught. I want to go back to 2018, I think it was. Mm-hmm. You had just moved into a new place. You're surrounded by blank, empty walls. And you're like, I want to fill this with my own artwork.
Yes.
So you got started. So what was it that drew you initially when I guess you were deciding what you wanted to put on those walls? What drew you to abstract or to fluid abstract specifically?
Yeah. So I've always done something artsy, something creative. I started with seascapes and landscapes. That's what I was drawn to as a child. That's where I've lived most of my life, in coastal cities. And when we bought this home here in Florida and kind of established our roots, it had two-story ceilings. And the biggest piece of it was that I walked into a room, it had a closet, and there were three closet doors. I think they were like 5 foot by maybe 8 feet. They were canvas.
Oh,
the previous owner had a daughter and wanted her to paint on them, and she never did.
Oh, wow.
So I had what you would have spent hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on. I had these huge blank canvases.
Just raw materials right in front of
you. Exactly. Yeah. And so I thought, you know what? I haven't painted in a really long time. I want to find something that I can do with this. And I knew I was just drawn to the fact that I wanted it to be abstract. I wanted there to be motion. I wanted your eye to go up to the ceiling and up the vertical height. So I really knew that abstract art was something that I wanted to do there.
And did you just get started right in your house? Like that's where you worked on these first couple of pieces?
Funny story. So I decided that I wanted to do the fluid art pieces. I watched a few videos, figured out, what supplies to buy. Mm-hmm. And then I took those doors out to our back patio.
Okay.
And I did not have any coverings down. I mean, it's concrete, but I splattered paint everywhere in our brand new house that we bought. My husband came home. He said, what happened. What are you doing? And I said, but don't you like the art?
Right. Look at the finished canvas. Don't look at the patio floor, babe.
So we had to have somebody come and pressure wash the back porch. And I'm not even going to talk about what is my studio now, which is my garage, which also had a nice brand new floor when we started. Yeah. And now it's its own work of art.
I mean, that goes right into being a self-taught artist and learning all of these things along the way, right? Like, what are some of the struggles or the aha moments that you've had starting out 2018 and earlier and then kind of leading up into now? I'm sure there's been a lot along the way.
Yes, there has been. So I think the first part of it was a struggle was really, you know, finding my own voice, right? Mm-hmm. Figuring out what I wanted to do. But before you even get to that, it is figuring out what mediums to use. There weren't a ton of people doing this at the time that I started.
Yeah.
There were only, you know, a few people that I followed to really learn from. So it was about testing things out, figuring out what mediums work together, what paint brands work together. And then, you know, the whole process of YouTube came a little bit later on, but I would say relearning and figuring out color theory when working with fluid paints is actually quite different than layering paints onto a canvas with a brush. So that was, you know, something that I really had to relearn and experiment with myself. But struggle or not, it was super fun to learn, and it's brought me on this journey so far.
Along that experimental path, I believe you also became an inventor, right? Like, you created a product because there was nothing that you liked enough that you were setting your canvas on. You needed like these stilts, right? Can you tell us about those?
Yeah. So actually, you know, I found a need and I figured out a way to do it. Yeah. I never in my life thought that I would create a product from scratch. But you lay it flat on the table for, you know, people with back issues and back pain to allow the paint to drip down the sides, I created what I call my level up art stand. Nice. So they are stands that you place your canvas on. They're made of durable material. They're not like 3D printed. And so the paint peels off. You can reuse them years to come, even with resin for resin artists. So that was a process in itself. It took me about a year for that to come to fruition.
Okay,
and I learned a whole heck of a lot in the process. And now those stands are made here, actually in Florida, in the USA. But yeah, they're 3D injection mold printed.
Okay, how cool. Yeah, I think I had a glimpse into a pouring artist's studio one time. And I'm pretty sure I've seen this on most other people's setups where they're just they're just standing on solo cups or something like that.
Yes.
So I think having something a little bit more durable
when
you're really getting into it.
And better for the environment too, right?
You're not creating as much waste.
Something
that you can, like you said, peel off and reuse. That's awesome.
Yes.
So you mentioned that you kind of started painting coastal and landscapes and that you've sort of lived in coastal areas most of your life, right?
Yeah.
How do you find, even with your abstract work, that the area that you're in, the studio that you're working in, the space that you're creating in, influences how you work and the art that you produce?
So, yes, living in coastal places basically my entire life. I moved from, you know, I was born in Columbia, South Carolina, moved to Charleston, South Carolina, and then ended up here in Florida. The ocean and nature it's a huge part of what inspires me. But it's not just the colors, it's the motion and the energy that carries with it. And, you know, I like tropical things too. I like super bright colors. I love, you know, think like birds of paradise type colors. Yeah. And I'm really drawn to that as well. So I would say nature and ocean are some of my biggest inspirations.
Speaking of bright colors and the artwork, if you look behind Molly, that's actually some of her artwork she brought in today, which I just love that piece. And that those are the colors right there. I mean, it's so cool to see all those little cells and how the different shapes and the way you manipulate things and how they evolve. I love seeing the process too on your YouTube channel.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm always somebody who's a little bit biting my nails and like, oh my God, what's going to happen next? Because it's so, to me as an outsider, it seems unpredictable. I'm sure you have at this point a great level of control and, you know, knowledge of what you're doing that you know where things are going to go.
Right.
But I just love watching it because it is pretty exciting. The evolution of every piece is so different.
Yes, absolutely. You know, some pieces I go in no expectations and I let the paint do the work. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I have it planned out, but there's always surprises, you know, and it's so exciting to see how they dry as well.
Yeah. So art is only a part of your career life. How does the balance of that work for you?
Yes. So I do have a full-time career and I have had that. That's part of what brought me to Florida. But I started being creative again as a release from my full-time job. So I would paint when I would get home and on the weekends, and it just kind of grew. And that's really how it has remained over the past almost 7 years now in February.
Yeah,
so, you know, I do have two jobs, but it doesn't feel all the time like I have two jobs. It still is my release. When I get home, I think, oh man, I get to paint today, not I have to paint today. Yeah. And that I think is what helps me with that.
Do you have kind of a setup for yourself, like to get your head into this different space, into creative space when you get home, you get into your studio? Is there a mode? Are you playing music? Are you listening to podcasts? Like, how do you kind of set up your creative space?
Yeah, for me, it's actually mixing and setting up my paints.
Oh, okay.
So that piece of it takes, and sometimes that's all I'll do. I'll go in the studio and I'll get to mixing, and it's such a peaceful time.
Mm.
I don't listen to music because I produce my videos and I don't want any copyright issues or anything there. So really for me, it's about collecting my thoughts and setting a little bit of intention for what I'm going to do, thinking about what I'm going to share in my life to my followers. And really, it's just about like that preparation of getting the painting ready. And a lot of times mixing those paints and taking that time gives me so many more ideas that for paintings and for videos that I'm going to do that day. So it gets me like really excited.
Yeah. That's so cool. I love to get a glimpse into artist studios and just see the way that they have their materials set up.
Mm-hmm.
It's always kind of a fun view to see how somebody works. Is there like a method that you found that works for you of just the way you move around your space because you're painting tabletop? Like, I'm sure filming and creating at the same time, you have to be really aware of how things are, you know, for you accessibility wise, but then also for the viewer to be a part of your creating process as well.
Yeah.
Is that like a whole?
Oh my goodness. Yes. So that has changed over the years. Yeah. So I started, like I said, it's in my garage. So I started on a little table with like a little camera that clipped on by my water heater. Mm-hmm. And as I started making videos, you know, if you look back on my channel, you'll see I started on one side of my garage and I finally found where I'm at peace now.
Okay.
And I film with five different camera angles.
Amazing,
so it's a little bit crazy. But if you actually saw my studio, people come in and they say, oh, I thought it was so much bigger because it's a two-car garage. But I have a ladder. And on the ladder, I have another attachment that has my overhead view on it, too. So it looks a little bit cluttered, but when you're on the artist side of it, actually painting, it feels very open and very free. But I have mine set up. I have all my paints behind me that I have a little bit of a problem with buying paint and medium. And then
can relate.
Yeah. And then in front of me, I have my drying tables because they take 1 to 3 days to dry. So you can't just hang them up immediately and get them out of the space. So you need space for that. And then I pre-mix my paints a lot of times for different techniques because they have different consistencies. And I have that on another table.
Okay.
So I have an entire like L-shaped setup of just preparatory work and drying space. And then I have my little comfort zone, which is where I film my videos.
Yeah, because I'm assuming when you get started on a piece, if you're pouring, things are in motion, you can't really just stop and then decide to go mix another color, right? There literally has to be a flow to this style of work.
Yes. So I try to mix everything up ahead of time. And then, like I said, my peaceful time is mixing paint. So sometimes I'll just go with that and just mix up an entire batch of colors that I want to use for like a few weeks.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah. And you have those materials all ready to go. Yep, and then you know next time you step into your studio, you're like, I got this.
Absolutely. Yes.
So tell me about what the process of like how you decided to start filming this and sharing it when you were creating art, when you were, you know, getting into your space. Yeah. What made you decide that I need to document this and I need to share it?
Yeah. So I started myself filming because there were so many different techniques and reactions and paint mixing mediums. And I just wanted to have like a little journal for myself to see how did I do that? What were the colors that I used? How did that react? And so I started filming that way. And it took one of my friends, I showed her some of my videos and told her what I was doing. And she said, you should post them on YouTube like all the other people do. And I went home that night. I had no idea what I was doing. I had my country set to a wrong country. I couldn't figure out how to do any of it. But I uploaded that first video and I think it got originally like, I don't know, like 3 views or something like that. But it was there and it was mine and I did it. And that was kind of what started my journey. I feel like almost everything that has happened to me over the past 6 or 7 years has simply been someone making a recommendation or saying, you know, you should do that. And I would just do it. Mm. There would be no question, no hesitation. If it made sense, I just did it. Yeah. And
a person of action. I like that.
Yeah. And that's kind of how all of this has evolved along the way.
That's amazing. And now you've grown this channel to over 900,000 viewers. That's huge.
It's mind-blowing
to me.
That's a
big audience. That's wonderful that you've just, you know, created together, right, this collaborative community. I mean, this is where you've developed smart art courses, and this is something that you co-founded. Do you want to tell us more about what those are and that journey?
Yeah, yeah. So smart art courses, back in 2019, I got together with a couple of other artists and we decided that we were going to create a course. We always got so many questions, so many comments, and just to have it all in one place for people, as a reference even. So we thought, okay, we're gonna do this together. And we created that course. It did very well. And myself and one of the other artists, Rinska Dauna, we decided, well, let's scale this, right? Mm-hmm. Let's get other artists involved. We wanted to create other courses ourselves. So we grew the platform. We co-founded it as Smart Art Courses. And we have that first course that was with Olga Sobey and Rinska Dauna, Acrylic Pouring A to Z. And then we have built it. And now we have, I think, six courses on there, two other guest artists that have come on, and it's just a platform that has kept growing over time.
That's awesome. And these are evergreen classes, right? They're not live things, so somebody can access them a year ago and they can access them 5 years from now.
Exactly. And it's lifetime access. So as long as the platform is up, you can access it anytime. We have people from years ago that still come back and use it.
That's so cool. You know you've created something great when people keep coming back for more.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So what are some of the things, like, how do you engage still, even though they're evergreen, how do you engage and kind of support those students, those followers, as they're learning from you guys from these courses?
Yeah, so they're allowed to post comments and pictures, and that's actually the most exciting part because you're putting your energy into teaching someone and then you get to see them actually do it. And so we have comments. We have a private Facebook group. So for anybody that's bought any of the courses, they're in there. It's a safe place to share, to ask questions, to learn from others. So that is a really great way. And then, of course, we email back and forth with our students if they have questions as well.
I love that. What a just exciting thing that you've built and you get to keep seeing it grow and experiencing your students' artwork. That's such a special thing to be able to see.
Those dinner reservations and tea times will have to wait because there's an art-filled paradise beyond these beaches. A mecca of masterpieces. Spectacular sights by day and night. A cultural capital that's calling your name. See so much more than you came for in the Palm Beaches.
It really is. It's one of the best feelings. And let me tell you, sometimes they do work that I think is better that I'm like, wow, you did good.
You're like, the student has become the master.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. So, and they share their stories too. And some of it is personal. And they get into art shows and, you know, it's like watching, I don't want to say your children, but you know, it's like watching them grow up and evolve into their own journey, their own creative journey. Yeah. And I think that that's it's a really rewarding thing.
Absolutely. And it's energizing too, right? As creatives, I think we seek out those kind of times where we can share, you know, is you're somebody who is not, you're not putting up any gates or any barriers or keeping any secrets of like how I do this thing. Here you can have this knowledge and apply it in your own manner and benefit from it, whether that's just something you do to relax and zen out or something you want to go forward and do art shows with.
Absolutely.
I love the no gatekeeping here. Yeah. So speaking of art shows, right, we talked that we met at Arte Gras.
Yes. Yeah.
Your experience, you started in their emerging artist program, which so did I. So what was that like and how did you decide to take, you know, your work from, all right, I'm in the garage studio, it's on YouTube, I'm going to go do an art show. How did that process come about for you?
Yeah. Again, it was a friend of mine that said, hey, you should do this. And I had been to Arte Gras previously and I thought, is that even within my reach? Like, you know, is that something that I want to do? It had never even crossed my mind. And so again, a couple of weeks later, I got, you know, my artwork and my pictures together and I submitted my application and my pictures were terrible, awful. I almost didn't get in because I didn't know what I was doing at the time. But you know what? I took the step. I tried it and the program was absolutely, absolutely amazing. It was, it really sparked my art career to keep going further as an artist and not just a content creator.
And now are you doing more art shows? Is that a regular part of your, no? So we do one a year then?
Mm-hmm.
It's Arte Gras?
Well, if I get in, because it's a juried show. I did, so that first year after I did the emerging artist program at Arte Gras, I applied to like five or six different shows. Yeah. And again, I only have time on the weekends and at night to do this. And there's only so much inventory you can create at a time. And I did a bunch of other shows. And while it was still profitable, it was still fun. It was a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And I'll be quite honest, Arte Gras was one of the best and still is one of the best shows to do, in my opinion, especially around this area as well. So I scaled back and then the next year I did two or three shows, I think. And then the next year I said, you know what, for the amount of time and energy that I put into it, I want it to be good. So I do. I put all my eggs in one basket and I apply to Arte Gras each year.
No, that's great. I think, you know, you have to do those experiments as an artist and see where it's good for you to put your energy and take your time. And but you did it. You tried these different shows and had the experience of it. I get it, setting up the booth and being there all weekend.
We've seen each other sweaty that first day, loading
like,
in.
All right. Like,
oh, God.
See you the next 2 days back to back.
Yeah.
It's a lot, but it's great. Yeah. And of course, obviously, I love Arte Gras. That's the show that I do every year, too. So,
yeah,
the Emerging Artist Program, it's a special one. It's one, like I said, that I started at, too. They give you a lot of resources and a lot of information that is not necessarily easy to find, you know, if you're just kind of getting started. And this is whether you're an experienced artist but have never done an art festival, or you're somebody who's really, you know, maybe you're just graduating or you're just getting into the art world.
Absolutely.
From any stage, they give you some guidance. They have a little bit of mentorship. They help you get booth shots, right? So you have a professional photo to then apply to other shows. Yeah, those kind of things. I love that program. I think it's so great to see, you know, an event supporting local artists that
Absolutely.
Way of any stage of life. I love it. Every year, that's one of the things that if I don't get to walk around the whole show, which I usually don't because we're busy at our booths, I will always go like check on and meet the emerging artists
Absolutely.
And see who's there and just kind of give them a like, you got this.
Yeah.
I'm just excited for them. I'm always excited to see new talent and people kind of, you know, spreading their wings a little bit further.
Yeah, that the first day after setup, I try to make it a point before the end of the day to go by and see them and just let them know. There's small little things, you know, like making sure you don't have any signs in sure. in your booth or removing any tables, anything like that.
Yeah.
And I tell them to get a good booth shot by the end of the day if you don't have the means to get it professionally done
right.
in case you want to go to any other shows. So I've had a couple of fluid artists that are there that I've met, which has been really amazing to see at those shows. And I've done the at the Cultural Council, they have their, you know, like educational session and I've gone and spoken there as well for the emerging artists. So it's been amazing being one and then being able to contribute back to the program in that way as well.
Completely. Yeah, that's such an exciting, I mean, there's so much energy around those things, right? Again, it's another level of where can I usher in and kind of share the information that I've gleaned.
Yeah, yeah. And network too.
Right, absolutely.
With other artists, you know, the Emerging Artist Program chooses, it's not just painting, it is ceramics, it's photography, and it's so amazing to network and meet other people and to see their art and to see them flourish too.
So let's talk about then networking, right? Like, how do you like to, you've built this big community online. You have a community in person as well, obviously. I love the friends you keep because they're clearly supportive of you doing more and more in your art world, which I love. In what ways do you find that you really love to engage with your audience and share your art? Like,
Yeah. So comments are a huge thing. Mm-hmm. You can connect with people across the world. So it's very different than, you know, having a local show or an art festival. Online, you are connecting. Literally, I talk with people in Japan and, you know, Singapore, Australia, the UK. And with translation now, I translate my videos on YouTube.
Okay.
So I get comments in different languages.
Oh, how cool is that?
That then I can then translate and I can talk back with them. And it's something that's really special that you can kind of touch and connect with so many people. I also do a little series on taking viewers' comments and their recommendations and making paintings from them. And that can be inspiring on its own. So that is a fun way to connect as well.
So give me an example of what that looks like. Are people saying, I want to see this color or this material, or what does that look like? Maybe?
Yeah. So sometimes I will just do a call out. I will create make a technique or a painting from a technique. And I will say, what colors would you like to see? And then people will come up with color palettes and I'll pick one. I'll highlight their comment on my video or, you know, while I'm making the painting and create a painting from that. I did a yellow ochre Ooh. Series,
okay.
which I don't use that color very often. So I was pushing myself to do that. Okay. And when I did that, I asked for, and there were some of the most amazing color palettes that came from that. I think I made 3 or 4 paintings from other people's comments. But it's nice to know that your opinion was heard and that somebody valued it enough to create a piece of art from it.
Sure. You
know? So I love connecting through comments, emails, all of that to keep my audience connected.
So what do you think has been the most rewarding part of building this community?
I think it's twofold. Mm-hmm. I get the selfish part is that I get rewarded for feeling like I matter, that my art means something to other people. I did it for myself when I started, so I didn't realize that other people would also like it. Art is subjective. Right. So, that's the part that really makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. But the other part of it is that I have so many people reach out and say, you've helped me through a hard time. I love, you know, watching your videos, or I bought this piece of art at a difficult time and I get to look at it every day and think about something special. So it's twofold. I get that feeling kind of from both sides, that I make an impact on other people and that those other people have made a big impact on me too.
I'm sure people make this reference in comparison. So maybe it's one that you've heard a million times and you're going to roll your eyes at. But I feel like it's a little Bob Rossy where you're like people, you know, probably just also besides really engaging in your videos and watching and learning and maybe creating their own artwork, you might just be existing, you know, kind of while somebody's working because they find your videos soothing or right. Like those are kind of things like art making is so soothing to just have on in the background or little, you know, creation of any kind. That's, it's not something that's like crazy high stakes that you have to worry about. It's just sort of something that you can zen out to a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. I do. I get that actually quite often. People say they watch it to relax, to go to sleep at night. You know, some people have
said. The sound of you pouring acrylic on the canvas is just so soothing.
Some people have even said like they've sent me pictures that I'm up on their big screen in their house while, I'm like, oh my gosh, my face. So yeah, it's definitely, it's not, and some people have never painted before that watch me. I originally wanted to teach others and share my art. And it really is sharing my process because some of these people have never painted before. They said, I just watch you because it's entertaining.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Especially, like I said, those pores, sometimes you get into those reactions and it's like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And where are things going to go? And depending on which way you're tilting the canvas, or I don't know if you're ever using like a hair dryer or a blower right?
Palette knife. Yep. Hair dryer. Those are my two kind of biggest.
Those are the go-tos.
Yeah.
So where can people also find your work, right? Like besides obviously watching the creation of it on your channel and maybe catching you at Artie Gras when you do that show, hopefully.
Yes.
Where can people view your work and potentially collect it?
Yeah. So I'm on all the social media channels, but my website, Molly's Artistry, is the biggest place that you can find my work or through my email.
That's the YouTube as well, right? Molly's Artistry.
It's all Molly.
It's everything.
It's everything is Molly's Artistry. Nice. Yeah.
Nice. That's always helpful when they're all the same thing for easy for people to find.
Yes. Branding 101.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. So when you've created, I think there's over 700 videos on this channel. How are you keeping this like creative spark? How are you keeping the content fresh? Like that's just a lot of videos, lady.
It is a lot of videos. So a lot of those came from when I was just starting out. I would come home and I would make a video almost every single day. Wow. Like I would come home and paint because I wanted to, I needed to, like it was fun, but I didn't edit them at all.
Okay.
So if I needed to walk and go use the bathroom or, you know, anything, there would be a pause in the video, you know, there would just be you staring at a blank canvas. Yeah. So now there is more work that goes into it. Like I said, I have 5 camera angle setups. Yeah. I edit my own videos. I get that question a lot. Like, do you have a company? Mm. No, I do it.
You're the production team. You're the editor.
All myself. Yeah. So I've gone down to doing 2 videos a week and that is what works for me. Yeah. But I can go out on, you know, a weekend on a Saturday and paint 4 or 5 paintings. So now I'm ahead half of a month.
Okay.
And then I can edit those and kind of just get into my flow. Yeah. But I personally, I'm A-type personality, and which is completely opposite of what you would think for being creative for me. But I like to make lists. Mm. I'm very creative in the morning and at night. And so I either at night, I use my phone. During the day, I write down my ideas and I keep like a little journal of them. And so when I go out into my studio to keep the juices flowing and not be so repetitive, I will go off of that kind of inspiration list sometimes. And then that one thing, I'll say something in a video and that will lead me down a whole nother
spark
path.
Spark the next idea.
Exactly. Yeah. And series is the other thing. Okay. So picking a color and doing a series on it, picking a technique and doing a series on it, it keeps the ideas coming. Mm-hmm. It keeps viewers engaged and it really helps me to create like a body of work, especially when I do end up doing shows or showcasing like a series of something.
And you can go a little bit deeper into something that way when you're exploring it in a series versus just trying something once.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So when you say series, how many, like, are we talking about 5 pieces, 20 pieces? What does that look like for you? Or is it different every time?
It's different every time. So it depends on what goes into it, how much experimenting I need to do. But it will normally range from, like, I would say 5 to 10 types of paintings at a time. Really cool.
So what about when you ever have moments, maybe you never do, maybe you're one of the lucky ones, that if you get stuck, right, and you're looking for inspiration, what does that process look like for you? If you need to go, you know, ignite a spark, you're feeling like the studio's not it right now. What's your process there like?
Ooh, it does happen to me. Believe me, I truly believe it happens to everyone at some point in time in their life. For me, I find it depends on how I'm feeling. Okay. I will either take a break. Mm-hmm. Take a break. You can either try something else creative within that time period, or you can just literally take a break.
Yeah.
And then what I find is that I start missing it and I start longing to do something again. Mm-hmm. The other thing is I go back to the basics. I will go back and do something that I know works, that I know that I will like, that has a good outcome for me. And I will go back and start doing those things, because especially with fluid art, when you're experimenting, things don't always turn out the way you want them to. And it's very easy to get like just a little bit like upset that things aren't working. You know, you're not producing, you're watching somebody do this and you're not producing the same thing. So I think going back to the basics can also be, you know, a really great way to reignite your creativity. And then also just taking some time in nature, for me, going on a walk, going to the beach, looking at other bodies of work, being inspired by others. I do believe that that is a real thing. Seeing color combinations. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if you just go to like a Home Depot and look at the paint chips there.
Oh my God, I love that.
It can really, really inspire you to come up with different color combinations.
Sure.
So those are kind of the ways that I kind of, if I'm not feeling, you know, quite so creative, those are the ways that I could try to get it back.
Are there any, I like to ask this question since we're, you know, talking on a podcast that's about local arts and culture, right? Are there any spaces, exhibits, shows, pieces of art in Palm Beach County that you're like, people need to see this? If they haven't been, they need to go visit.
Yeah. So there's actually a few. So downtown West Palm Beach has amazing artwork on its buildings itself.
The murals down there.
Yes. The murals are so beautiful. It was one of the first things that caught my eye when I came into the city, and we actually lived downtown that first year. So I got to see it all the time. Arty Gras was my first show that I actually went
that
to.
You went to. Yeah.
I still have the painting that I bought. I bought, it was a drawing, a pencil drawing of a little cat. It was the cutest thing I had ever seen.
I love it.
I still have it. And I remember then, like, let's find more shows, because I hadn't really been, I'd been so involved with my career up to that point in school that I hadn't really ventured out and did much. So I was like, let's start going to shows. The Cultural Council in Lake Worth has a beautiful, and they rotate their artist setups there. So that is a really cool place to go and visit. And they have tons of information on just all kinds of art, artsy, I should say, things that are going on in the area. So that
is they
really
cover
great
the whole creative
to,
culture, right? No, I love their exhibits, and that building itself is like a piece of art. It's a beautiful building.
Yes, it
actually
is. The curvatures,
right. Mm-hmm. Definitely don't sleep on the Cultural Council. They've got great exhibits.
Yeah.
What else can we get into here? I'm gonna look at my notes. All right, we talked about some inspiration. Let's get into, let me see what time it is. Okay, we're doing great. Advice and reflection. It's kind of where I like to wrap things up.
Yeah.
So for someone just starting out in maybe either fluid art or the creative side of showcasing and sharing their artwork on YouTube, do you have any particular advice?
Goodness. You know, over the years, I have had to stay true to myself. Putting yourself out there on social media, and I think that goes for both of us, because we really are, what you see is what you get. And that can be kind of quirky and funny and endearing, but being true to yourself and listening to others, but taking what you need from it and letting the rest of it go and being able to understand that you have value and what you bring to whatever creative journey or artistic community that you're in, that you have value and what you do matters and you can truly evolve and grow and make yourself into whatever you want to be. I know it probably sounds kind of mushy, but that is what I've held on to this entire time. And if I was trying to help someone along their art journey, I would say, be true to yourself, find value in what you do, do what you love, find your passion, stick with it, and the rest will come. The rest will follow.
That's incredible. I love that. And I think you've been an amazing example of that. I mean, you've come a long way, I think, in a relatively short amount of time as an artist. And to see that growth and to know that we have just incredible talent here in Palm Beach County, it's really exciting.
Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today and having this conversation with me and sharing your story. I love to hear it all. And thank you for bringing some of your work in today for us to see.
Thank you.
Yep. Remind us again, if people want to check out your work, check out your YouTube, where they can find you.
Yes. So Molly's Artistry, it's mollysartistry.com or it is Molly's Artistry on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all of them.
All the good things. Okay, yep. Great. Well, thank you, viewers, followers, listeners, for tuning in with us today. That's all for today's episode of the Artie Gras podcast. Thank you. Huge thank you to our sponsor, the Cultural Council for Palm Beach County. I'm Sarah LaPierre. I'll see you next time.